Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, the Eagles shared some very sad news yesterday that over the weekend, Eagles Hall of Famer Timmy Brown died at the age of 82. Ray Dittinger wrote a wonderful article about Timmy Brown on the Eagles website, an all-time Eagles great. Ray Dittinger is gratefully and graciously joining us right now this morning to talk about Timmy Brown. Ray, good morning. What made Timmy Brown such a fan favorite with Eagles fans?
Well, he was a great player at a difficult time for the franchise. He was a rookie in 1960 when they won the World Championship, and he was at that time he was a backup running back, but an outstanding special teams player, punt returner, kickoff returner. And then it wasn't for a couple of years that he finally got a chance to have a bigger role in the offense, and he was great. The only problem was that it was a time when the Eagles were really bad. By 1962-63, when he was really hitting his peak, was at a time when the Eagles were falling to the basement of the Eastern Conference. So the fans who remember that era, the fans who remember the Franklin Field days, remember Timmy Brown being a very talented and very valiant player at a time when he didn't have a whole lot of help out on the field. So he was a guy who always gave his best, and in spite of the fact that his teams were winning two and three games a year, he himself ranked among the league leaders in rushing, receiving, total offense, touchdowns. I mean, he was a great, great player.
And what made him such a special player?
Well, it was his speed and his elusiveness. He was he was very much a player that was kind of ahead of his time. As far as, you know, today we talk about running backs who are great catching the ball out of the backfield. That's a big part of the offensive design of teams right now, that everybody's looking for that running back that can come out of the backfield, catch the ball, and turn it into a big play. And that's what Timmy was, except Timmy was that in the 60s. So he was a terrific weapon for the Eagles. And he was very elusive. He caught the ball extremely well and tough. I mean, he wasn't the biggest guy. I mean, he was 5'11 and 190 pounds. But he was, he would carry a very, very heavy load. And in those days, you know, he didn't have much help. The offensive line wasn't very good. There wasn't, the defense wasn't very good. Most of those Sundays, it was all on him. And two of those years, in 62 and 63, he led the league in a new category, which is called total offense, total yards from scrimmage, which meant rushing, receiving, and kickoff return yards. And he was... he led the league in back-to-back years at a time when you had some great players in the NFL, including Jim Brown. But Timmy was actually putting up more yards than anybody.
Now, he was on the 1960 team, as you mentioned. It was his first year with the Eagles after playing only one game with the Packers the year before. What kind of role did Timmy Brown have on that 1960 championship team? If I'm correct, he scored four touchdowns that season.
Yeah, he did. He was mostly a kick returner, but he made some very big plays. And there were a couple games, and really there was a game late in the season, next to the last game of the regular season. The Eagles already had the conference championship sewn up, so they were just waiting to play in the championship game. And they played the game out in Pittsburgh, where the weather was terrible. It was snowing, it was sleeting, field was terrible. And the Eagles head coach, Buck Shaw, decided, look, I'm not going to play any of my regulars. I'm just going to play the backups. I don't want to get anybody hurt before the championship game. So he started Sonny Jurgensen at quarterback in place of Norm Van Brocklin. And one of the other changes he made was he put Timmy Brown in the backfield in place of Billy Barnes, who was the normal starter. And what they discovered that day was, boy, what an explosive player Timmy Brown was. He had a couple of really big runs. He had a couple of really big receptions and runs. And the Eagles wound up losing that game, but it wasn't because of Timmy Brown's fault. They came out of that game feeling like, boy, we really found something here. And his role expanded a little bit in 1961, but really expanded in 1962 when he became really kind of the focal point of that offense.
A really interesting point from the article that you wrote at the Eagles website, Ray, is that Timmy Brown almost quit after those first two seasons with the Eagles because he wasn't thrilled with the limited role that he had. What got him to stay on?
Well, that's an interesting part of the story because he wasn't making very much money at that time. I think he once told me his salary was something like $6,500 or $7,000 is what he was making for the season. So it wasn't very much. And he knew that he was a really good player. And his feeling was that he should be getting the ball more. And after 2 years, even though the team was good, they'd won the championship 1 year, and they had come within a half a game of winning the division the next year, he was just really frustrated. He was thinking about walking away, and he didn't have enough money to buy his own home. And he was actually living with a family out in West Philadelphia on Pine Street. The woman in the family had become kind of like a mother to him. And when he told her after the 61 season, you know, I don't even know if I'm coming back. I think I might just go home and start find a job. And she said, no, you can't do that. You'll get your opportunity. You just keep playing and you're going to get your opportunity. And she talked him into coming back and playing the 62 season. And the 62 season was the year it all turned around for him. That was the year they finally realized, we got to get this guy on the field. And once they did, man, there was no stopping.
But as you said, during his peak years, the team overall wasn't good. If he played on better Eagle teams when his career really took off, do you think his numbers would have been even better than they were?
Oh, sure, yeah. Because there weren't many backs like him in the NFL at that time. There weren't many guys that had his combination of speed and pass-catching ability. His former teammate and a great player, Pete Retzlaff, also an Eagles Hall of Famer, has compared him to Gale Sayers. I mean, and it's not a bad comparison. I mean, Timmy had the same kind of running style, the same kind of ability to make guys miss, same kind of explosiveness in the open field, and that's the kind of back that he was. And, yeah, if he had played on better teams, there's no telling what kind of numbers he put up. If you look in the Eagles record book now, if you go back through it, I mean, even though Timmy has been gone now since 1968, which is a long time ago, he still holds a bunch of Eagles records. I mean, he's still got the record for most kickoff returns. He's got the record for most kickoff return yardage. He's got the record for most kickoff returns for touchdowns. He's like the eighth leading rusher. He's seventh in all-time all-purpose yardage. And the stat that I think is most reflective of his ability is the fact that he is number one among all Eagles players in yards per touch. He averaged about 6.5 yards every time he touched the football. And just to give you an idea of how good he is, the guy in second place is Brian Westbrook. And Timmy's ahead of him almost by almost a full yard. So we all remember how good Brian Westbrook was and how dangerous he was and how many big plays he made. But if you go back and you break it down, yards per touch, Timmy Brown was the best player the Eagles ever had.
That's right. Very impressive stats. What was his personality like off the field, Ray?
Very engaging, very bright. He was very handsome. He was really, really good looking. And in fact, he was so good looking that while he was playing, as he was beginning to achieve some success in football and some notoriety, he got some modeling gigs that some people in New York saw him and offered him some modeling gigs. That sort of led to, he got the bug, and then he started taking singing lessons and acting lessons. So during the season, when the team had their day off on Monday or Tuesday, Timmy would hop a train and go up to New York and take singing lessons and acting lessons and prepare himself for a career in show business when it was all said and done. And as it turned out, that's what he did. At the end of his career, the Eagles traded him at the very end of his career. Joe Kuharik was the coach, and he traded Timmy to the Baltimore Colts for another kick returner named Alvin Hayman. And Timmy only played one more year. He played 1 year with the Colts. His final game was Super Bowl III, the Colts game against the Jets. And after that, he retired and went out to Hollywood and had a career out there. I mean, he spent about 20 years as an actor and was in some big movies. I mean, he was in the original MASH, which the classic film with Donald Sutherland and Elliot Gould. He was in that. And the director of that film, Robert Altman, liked him so much that Robert Altman put him in his next film, which is called Nashville, in which Timmy plays a country western, an African-American country western singer, and a role really modeled after Charlie Pride. And Timmy was in that and did his own singing. So he had a pretty nice run in Hollywood. And anybody that ever was around him, you saw that he had the looks and he had the personality. And there was real charisma to Timmy Brown, and he brought that to the movie screen as well as the football field.
And he was also a probation officer after his career as well. His life surrounding football, the football career, is quite the story. We talked about what it was like for him after football, but before football, Ray, he endured a lot of hardships growing up. What were those, and how did those define him?
He didn't have it easy. It was not an easy road for Tim. He was born into a family that was struggling economically. His father was an alcoholic. His mother did the best she could, trying to raise the family, but there was just no money. And so he and his brother were sent off to live in an orphanage. They actually went to a couple of foster homes and then wound up in an orphanage out in Indiana. And he was in the orphanage all the way through high school. And it was sports that got him, that gave him a new path in life. And he was a really, really good athlete in high school, obviously. Good enough that he got a scholarship, a partial scholarship, to a small Indiana college called Ball State. And he went there and played both basketball and football. And even though Ball State was way, way off the radar back in the 50s, I mean, nobody had ever heard of the school. But Timmy's reputation was such that people found out about him. And he wound up being drafted in two sports. The Green Bay Packers drafted him in the 27th round. Hard to believe the draft was 27 rounds back then, but it was. The Green Bay Packers drafted him in the 27th round, and the Philadelphia Warriors in the NBA actually drafted him in the 8th round. So he had a choice. He could go try and play pro basketball, or he could go to pro football, and he felt that at 5'11", he had a better chance to make it in football. So that's what he did, and it turned out that he had a great career.
Remarkable career, great story. His passing over the weekend is very sad. But Ray, thank you so much for taking some time this morning to talk about the life of Timmy Brown. Really appreciate it.
He's a great guy. He really was. I mean, the last time I saw him was 2015 when he came back to town. He was living on the West Coast with his son. His health had been in decline for a number of years. And in 2015, he was inducted into the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame. And he and his son flew from California back to Philadelphia to be there for the dinner that night and to accept the award. And it was lovely. It was great to see him again. He was obviously in the stages of the onset of dementia. You can kind of tell. And when he got up to give his acceptance speech, he couldn't quite make it through it. And his son finished the speech for him. It was really a very touching moment. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house when they stepped down off the stage. So nothing but great memories about Timmy Brown. He was a really good fellow and a great football player.
It's a beautiful story, and you told it so well, Ray. Thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it. Stay well and stay safe during this scary time as the pandemic is going on, and look forward to our next conversation whenever that may be.
I look forward to it too, Dave. Thanks very much.
Take care, Ray. Thank you. Ray Dittinger of WIP and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.